The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is March 23rd, 2025. This is Kevin Cry, and this is my show. Very much so. All mine. No paid sponsors. So anything you hear today is my opinion and just that. However, I do have a guest with me, a person who has become a good friend. And I will not say, maybe we're Beauty and the Beast, but we're both beasts, and there is no beauty. And this is Supervisor Chris Kellstrom. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, everyone.
So, the weather this week, always brought to you by Weather NorCal and my good friend Mike Kruger, mediocre tennis player, phenomenal meteorologist. It's going to be hot Monday and Tuesday in the low 80s, but then Wednesday it drops into the 70s. Thursday we could possibly expect rain, 70% chance. And it drops into the 60s Thursday and Friday. So that is your weather for the week. This weekend, I've been coaching my son's AAU basketball team. We went 2-0 yesterday. We have a game this morning. So Supervisor Kellstrom is going to be at the helm. And it will be his show. So he'll be a guest on my show. So anything he says, I cannot be responsible for. Anything that happens on the air when I leave shortly after the break. As always, you can track everything that I'm doing on social media. You can go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. You can go to VoteKevinCry.com. I'd encourage you to sign up for my newsletter. I still haven't really ever sent out a newsletter, but I'm just compiling email addresses. So when I do some things, I send that out because I personally hate newsletters. I like more of the digital and the radio and getting information out to people that way. So it says sign up for the newsletter, but really you're signing up for the email list. So if there is an event or something coming up, I can get a hold of you that way. And, of course, you can always leave your cell phone for text messaging because once in a while we'll do a text blast as well. So a lot lately we've been talking about public comment and jurisdiction at the Board of Supervisors. So I've been working on a project I've been thinking about a project off and on the last month or two. So what I thought is I wanted to go all the way back. I'm going to play a short clip from my very first meeting I went to, October 19th of 2021. And just to set it up, that meeting was the day after the school walkout, which was October 18th of 21. And there was a letter that Supervisor Jones had brought up about joining San Joaquin County to end the state of emergency and really start pushing back. And, of course, the board had sent other, you know, semi-toothless letters, and we all know some of these letters kind of are toothless to a point. But the language was a little wonky, so this one was a little bit stronger. And the board voted 2-3, so it failed not to send the letter to the governor and join San Joaquin County in pushing back. So the reason I'm going to play this clip and I'm setting it up is I was up there for 7 minutes and we're going to just play a really, really short segment of it. But I'm having a dialogue with Supervisor Comente and I'm going to ask him why we're not going that direction. So if you could, Christina, go ahead and please play that clip.
Listening. Joe's a good man. I don't know the other two to the left personally really at all, but Joe's a good guy. He may not vote the way some of us would like him to vote. But I would say one thing, Joe. I would want to challenge you on when you said you want to fly underneath the radar. And it's good that we can do what we're doing here in Shasta County because if we don't make enough noise, we won't get bothered. And I agree because, again, I flew to, you know, two other states last week, came back Sunday. And I felt that exact same way. But now it's to the point where other people, San Joaquin, other people are stepping up. And if we don't get some solidarity with the people that are like-minded, because the time to stand up, I believe, is now. Again, I really hope and pray we're not going to move out of the area, but I do know there is a line in the sand for me, and it comes really at the foot of my kids. So, Joe, I would ask you, would you reconsider joining what these two gentlemen to my right, your left, were talking about because I think the world needs people to start standing up and there being some unity behind what we're trying to do. Would you reconsider?
That's something you and I can talk about outside the chamber.
I'd love to talk about it now, if we could. I mean, respectfully.
All right, Christine, you can go ahead and stop. So I play that clip because one of the things for me in this whole process has been about transparency and has been about doing stuff as much as we can out in the open and doing things with, I don't want to say bold action as if it's, you know, some kind of heroic thing of some of the stuff we're trying to do. But there's a process. And when Joe says, hey, you know, let's talk about it later. And I kind of pushed him and said, let's talk about it now. And we talked for 4 more minutes. And again, I might post that whole clip on my social media. So if you want to go back and watch it, it's already up there somewhere. But when we talked about the jurisdiction, like the reason I ran for office entirely was they didn't send that letter. And when I watched public comment, and that was my very first meeting, and it just felt like such a no-brainer to send a letter to stand up with San Joaquin County, because I had seen the day before half the kids in the county basically miss school, and they were represented by the people, the 1,000, 1,500 or so that were there. It just felt like such a no-brainer. And when they didn't send it, I was like, okay, this doesn't feel like the community I grew up in, so I ran. And now that Supervisor Kellstrom and I are there, we talk about this lawsuit. And we talk about voter stuff. And so when people come up in public comment and they want to talk about how strong they feel, it's like, hey, like, and I can't speak for Supervisor Kellstrom. I'll let Supervisor Kellstrom speak for himself here in a second. But no one's going to convince or tell me at all about the importance of coming up there, being passionate, and then wanting to make a difference. I mean, that's why I'm there. But you have to do things the right way. And for us, this process that is unfolded with this ballot initiative that, Chris, I want all that stuff. How about you?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what's so frustrating, so ridiculous. I mean, we get these people telling us, you know, we need voter ID. Hey, I would love that. We need same-day voting. Hey, I would love that. We need to, you know, hand tabulate the, you know, we've tried all that. We tried all that. State of California has cut us off at the pass every single time. And it's like, you know, and I don't know. You got involved during COVID, and a lot of people got involved during COVID. You know,
I'm a COVID baby.
Absolutely. 2005. I've been in this fight a long freaking time. I mean, I've been in this fight a long time. So I went to my first State of Jefferson meeting like 2013, 2014. And I remember my buddies, they were having a town hall down in, the VFW in Anderson, which I've gotten the roof fixed and air conditioning in the building by now. But anyways, you know, and I went there and I'm thinking, all right, you know, I was like you. I was ready to move. I was ready to get out of the state. I was ready to just pack up and get out of here. And I thought, well, I'll go to this meeting and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I'll probably agree with everything they say, but, you know, whatever. Well, I went there. I listened to Mark Baird, who is a very good friend of mine now.
Before we go down this road, I want to close this loop real quick.
Okay.
Okay, and it's crazy. Can you believe this, ladies and gentlemen? I'm cutting Chris Kellstrom out. Usually it's his size, you know, 27 boot underneath booting me during my supervisor report. But anyway, really quick, is the thing for me is when we got when we get here, there's a process. There's a process you have to go through. And what Chris is starting to jump into, which I'm going to bring out right now, is when I got into this, it was the Modi recall. That was kind of the movement. It was the red, white, and blueprint. It was the Modi recall. There was the Freedom Coalition, which I started to attend a little bit when I decided to run for office. And I joined other things, or I joined what was already out there. But what I've done, especially after being involved in the Central Committee the last, you know, month or so, and going to the California Republican Convention and understanding the different groups and then really leaning in and trying to understand the history of Shasta County with the Tea Party, State of Jefferson, New California, and, you know, the Moms for Liberty, I probably know the least about because I'm not a mom and I'm just not part of that, but I know that's a group. And I was at coffee this last week, and we had a listener. I don't know if they're listening. Hello, Heidi and John. And they might be out at the houseboat. But he had mentioned, like, why don't you do, like, a government class for new people? And we had a gentleman named Paul from the VFW, new to the area. And he might be listening, so good morning, Paul. And I've had a lot of new people reach out and just ask questions. And I'm thinking, you know, it's just been burning on my heart that maybe I have to just not start – it's not a movement – but I just want to get people that want to know more about how the process works and how we have to fight the, I don't want to say fight the government, but how we have to fight for things that we want, but how to do it in a sane, rational, constitutional way. And it, and what I've seen our local group, Chris, do is just splinter. And I just kind of think, man, I don't want to be a part of anything. I just want to be on my own little island and get people that, that wanted, because, you know, I have a pretty good history of understanding how to navigate life. I've been married almost 25 years. I mean, it's nothing's perfect at all, for sure. I've got, you know, essentially three well-adjusted kids. I've put together multiple organizations, nonprofits, all around sports. So I do have somewhat of a track record of being able to figure this stuff out. So I asked Chris, I said, hey, what would you think about doing something on Sundays? And it's not about committees. It's not about a board. It's just about people that want to get together, talk through some things, and, you know, if you're interested in parental rights, great. You go into that breakout over there. If you want to talk about, you know, constitutional class, great. But it's not going to be led by myself and Chris. This is really going to be more of a forum where people can come and just learn and get involved at a pace that they're comfortable with. And it's not going to be, you know, us spoon-feeding people, but we have to get people to understand things they can do, because this voter initiative down in San Diego is real. It has traction. It will make it to the ballot. And yet, here we are, I feel like, spinning our wheels in the mud locally with things that I want, but it's not being done the right way. So with all of that, Chris, give us a background of the groups you've seen, not necessarily why they broke up, but you can if you want, and I'm going to put the disclaimer, anything that Supervisor Kellstrom says is not something I agree with or not. But, you know, help people understand, because you've been in this fight a long time, and I just kind of got involved, and it's just kind of drinking from a fire hose. And, again, I ran on unity. I still believe that. You heard it what I told when I said that to Joe, that we just got to come together, and that's what I want. So, Chris, give us the background.
Yeah, so I went to my first State of Jefferson meeting at the Anderson VFW Hall, like in, I don't know, early 2014 or late 2013, whatever it was. And, you know, at the time, my buddies invited me down there, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll go listen to what they have to say. But, I mean, I'm ready to pack up and move to Idaho or, you know, Montana, wherever. And so I went down there, and I'm like, wow, these guys really have a good plan. And I got involved. And, I mean, I got very involved. I was teaching an introduction to Jefferson class every Monday night. I would go to the Tea Party every single Monday night. You know, I'd put on two fundraisers for the Jefferson movement, raised $65,000 for our court case that was going to go to the Supreme Court. I mean, I was on the front steps of the Capitol with, you know, Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter, Janet Chandler and Mark Baird and, you know, protesting. I mean, I did, you know, all this stuff for them, and it's just, and it was great. And then 2018, Congress kind of changed to where our fight was always with the state of California, and suddenly we weren't going to get through the congressional level, which Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution says in order to split a state, you have to get the state's permission that is being affected, and you have to get Congress's permission. So in 2018, that all changed to where, you know, our fight was with California, but all of a sudden now we wouldn't get through Congress. So, but, I mean, I've been with these groups. I've been with the Tea Party. I've been with, you know, for the last dozen years, and it kills me that now we're in a position where, you know, we've got a few people from, you know, outside the area, LA, that have moved in here, and all of a sudden our groups are fractured. I mean, people that we, you know, when we did the Leonard Modi recall, they went after the nurses, and I think they went after the nurses first, and then, you know, you have to take the vaccine or you're going to lose your job, and all of a sudden the nurses are like, hey, you know, who's going to help us? And it's like, well, we're here. We've been around for 10 years, you know, join us. So the nurses all joined us, and then they went after teachers, and the teachers are like, you know, who's going to help us? And it's like, well, we've been doing this for, you know, 10 years, join us. So that's when the Freedom Coalition, you know, started, and it was like, and I mean, it was a great thing to see. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden we have all these people that were never involved, all of a sudden they're involved because they're getting threatened to lose their jobs. And, I mean, it was a great thing to see. And it kills me now. It just kills me. I go to the court case the other day, and I mean, here's some people that, you know, some of them I've known for a dozen years, and they're in there thinking I'm the enemy. And it's like, I've stood in the trenches with you guys. I mean, I've stood in the trenches with you guys for 12 years. Some of these people that are coming in now and causing all this chaos, it's like, you don't even know who they are. You know, they came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you're following them and you're questioning my integrity and my loyalty. It's just, it pains me. It absolutely pains me.
Well, I mean, I know after the board meeting, I had a discussion with a couple of people, And, you know, and I stayed. I tend to stay, you know, you're up in closed session and I'm, you know, I say, okay, 5 minutes upstairs, and then I roll in 12 minutes later because I'm downstairs talking to constituents. And I feel like if I stop or we stop trying to educate and, you know, talk to people about really what we can, they say, well, you can do this. Yes, you can. You can. I'm like, okay. So I've been sworn in office a little over 2 years, and you, who comes to, you know, a board meeting a week, are going to tell me what my jurisdiction. I mean, I've flown to D.C. I've been to Sacramento, I don't know how many times. I've been to multiple places in between on my own dime to speak and to do things to try and make those relationships so there's actually things we can get done, and it's frustrating. But so let me ask you, Chris, what do you see? What do you see as the reason, not the people, but the reason the groups have splintered and broke up and fallen apart in the past?
Well,
and what do we have to be careful of going forward?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people get active. I mean, you know, like the group we're dealing with right now, you know, they're the 2020 election, the 2022 primary, the 2020, you know, 20 election. I mean, they're hungry for freedom. They're hungry for their rights. They're hungry for, you know, fair elections. They're starving for all this stuff, which is great. But we've got a couple of people that have come in here and said, hey, I can give you all this stuff, you know, and that's what they're starving for. So, you know, of course they want to follow them, but it's like, you know, I want all that stuff too, but there's got to be a legal way to go about it. You can't just throw a charter amendment into our county charter and decide that you're going to bypass all state and federal laws. I mean, it's ridiculous. And to think that is going to work, it's just, I don't know, it frustrates me because it's like I see people on our side that I have known for a dozen years that I care for deeply, and now they're questioning your and my integrity, like, oh, you guys don't want free elections. No, we want free elections. We have taken arrow after arrow after arrow. We got rid of Dominion voting machines. We tried to put in hand counting, and, you know, here comes the state of California heading us off at the pass every single time.
And yeah. And there's steps that we can take. And that's why Carl DeMaio's ballot initiative that's coming out of San Diego. I mean, they have a great plan. They have a lot of people, a lot of counties. And I don't think Shasta, I mean, I know, I believe Nelda Johnson already, I think, has signed up to be a signature gatherer leader when they launch that, because I think they have 180 days to get their signatures when it becomes time. They need 1.2 million. They're thinking it's 800,000. Is what they need to qualify, but they're going to try for 1.2, because only in Shasta County on the cry recall do you get to have like a 2%
exactly.
Kickout rate, but that's okay. But so see, again, like that's another example, like you can only, you got to control. I tell my basketball team, I'll tell these kids today in an hour, or actually 38 minutes, you know, you got to control the controllables. You know, you can only do what you can do. Focus on that. If there's a bad call, you can't focus on that. You got to have a goldfish memory, and you got to move on. You got to forget it and move on. And so where we are right now is people have to understand that, yeah, I think the election stuff is wonky. There's a lot of things, but we have to fight the fights that we can win, and not just win, but that we actually have an opportunity to win. And the other thing too, you know, as we talk about this group, Chris, what I really want people to hear, you know, and I have, and I won't use last names, but I have, you know, Ken and Christy, as and Ken calls in once in a while. He might be listening now if he's not sleeping or mountain biking. But I want people who have never been involved to have a place. And when I was talking to somebody who was really instrumental in starting the Tea Party years ago, this individual told me, I said, well, you know, I said, I'm not looking for another job or another thing. I said, coffees, I just kind of started those up again, and it's an hour, but there's really no preparation. I just go and talk. And then this person said, well, they said, you know, do you go to church every Sunday? I said, well, I try. She said, but do you go? And I said, sometimes I watch online, sometimes I miss. And she said, but do you have to check online or for an email, or do you get a text message that it's going to be open? I said, no, it's just open. She said, exactly. So you have to, you know, pick a day of the week, and it's always got to be there. Rain, shine, holiday, whatever, you're meeting. So I said, okay. So that's when I called, you know, you, Chris, and I said, hey, I can't commit to one day a week in perpetuity forever, but maybe the two of us can. So Chris has agreed, and I kind of just sprung it on him 10 seconds ago. No, I'm just kidding. We talked about it. But, you know, I really want people to understand, like, this is something that you can invite people too that have never been involved. And I'm not saying it's like we're going to start like it's an Amway meeting. We're going to like surprise them with all kinds of drawn circles. And if you get three friends, but really we have to get more sane people, and again, we're both Republicans. You border on libertarian. Yeah. And well, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's just, and I'm just saying, I want to say it'd be kind of nonpartisan, but it's going to be extremely slanted Republican conservative. But for people that just want to actually sit down, and I wouldn't dissuade or not encourage, you know, Democrats or independents or non-party preference or Green Party people to come. But it's really, I mean, the communists pretty much stay away. We don't want the communists or the socialists. But anybody else that's open-minded just to kind of listen and learn, what do you think, Chris, is going to be the most important recruiting tool or item to get new people in? Because COVID got me in. What do you think it is today?
Well, I think possibly this election stuff might get a lot of people in. I mean, we have a lot of good people that are involved in our election integrity, you know, voter ID, et cetera. So, you know, that's going to draw in a lot of people. But, I mean, I don't know. That was what the Tea Party was. For every Monday night, the Tea Party, you know, we'd all meet there. We'd have different discussions and different topics, and they were great people. And during COVID, and it's kind of ironic, during COVID, they kind of shut down and stopped having meetings, which
the Tea Party,
yeah, and which, you know, one of the guys that will be here shortly was like would harass other pastors and preachers that shut down their churches during COVID. But it's like, well, you didn't do the Tea Party during COVID. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been involved a long time. I mean, I love to see good people that, you know, but you got to have a good path forward. You can't just, you know.
Well, I think the one of the people I talked to about this, they really just said, it, you know, there can't be committees, there can't be, you know, the person said, hey, you're in charge of it. So if there's a splinter group and they whatever, encourage them to go off and do their own group, which is fine. Like
right.
Like I'm not. This isn't an ego thing for me. Like I really could give two poops about who gets credit for what. I just want to do the work. Like even in, you know, my favorite moments as a supervisor was when I first became chair. We sent a resolution because there was talk about possibly another shutdown. So we sent that resolution. I think it was in February of last year. It was during the failed recall attempt. And we just said, hey, you know, we're never shutting down. So let's just get that out. And it was, and I sent it to Tom Patty from San Joaquin County. And I said, talk about a, you know, come in full circle that I got involved because they wouldn't send a letter. So then I get elected. I eventually become chair and then I get to author a letter that was just like San Joaquin County's. And that's what really government should be. If people want to make a difference, and I know I've heard you say it to people like, hey, if you don't like it, run against me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, I think that what's going to be really important, going forward is we don't become an echo chamber on Sundays. We get new people. And like even my coffee that you came to, this Friday. I mean, you talked to the one guy from the VFW, Paul, a lot more than I did.
He was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And when he talks about like how, you know, we as a county or how he could recruit more younger people into the VFW, into the chapter he's a part of, I mean, that's something we can get behind. And speaking about getting behind something, I want to make sure I mention this. I know Supervisor Kellstrom is going to be down there auctioneering, but our Hero's Dream fundraiser is happening next week. And you want to talk a little bit about that before the break?
Yeah. Our Hero's Dreams, I mean, they're a great organization. They're just fantastic people. So they'll get like younger Iraq or Afghanistan veterans that, you know, will come to them and be like, you don't know what I've seen. You have no idea what I've been through. And then they'll put them around a campfire with a Vietnam vet, you know, which will be like, yeah, I know exactly what you've seen, dude. I've been there myself. And
Tom Hildebrand.
Yeah.
Is a perfect example of that.
And Justin Bond, I mean, he is just an amazing individual. He got shot through the kneecaps by an AK-47 over, I think, in Iraq. And, I mean, he just, the guy I've never seen without a smile. I mean, he is this most amazing person. And I asked him last time I was at their open house up in Oak Run, I said, how many bullets do you have now? And he said he personally, I think, has 7. And that's 7 bullets that veterans have come to him and said, this is my last chance. This is the last program I'm going to go through. I've told my wife I would do one more program, but after that, I'm going to use this bullet and take myself out. And then they've handed the bullet over to him saying, I don't need this anymore. I mean, it's just,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Every time it's like, I'm about to tear up right now because every time it's just so, oh, so amazing.
Well, I don't want to see a tear up. I think
I know.
That would be an ugly cry. Okay. So our Hero's Dream fundraiser, it's happening next Saturday at Wind River. You can contact Supervisor Kellstrom. I believe you can get tickets at Jones's Fort,
yep.
Correct?
Yeah, I think so.
And then, again, you could probably Google Our Hero's Dream. That's happening next Saturday.
The last fundraiser, there was a guy up there talking, and I didn't realize who it was. And all of a sudden, they, you know, said Eddie Gallagher. So if you don't know who Eddie Gallagher was, he flew in from Florida. So this guy, if you look up Stolen Valor, a book, this guy was a Navy SEAL, you know, under the Obama administration. They were going after the Butcher of Baghdad, which if you watch American Sniper video, yeah. where the guy takes the kid out in the street and is going to drill through his kneecaps, you know, yeah. to get the grandfather to come out. That's the Butcher of Baghdad. Well, Obama administration wanted them to, anytime they'd go after a guy, they wanted to tell the local police that they were going after him. Well, the guy would get tipped off every time. So if you read Stolen Valor, they get on the black, the helicopters, they're flying, they tell the Iraqi police, we're going after the Butcher of Baghdad. They get there, they capture him, and he's staring at all the Iraqi policemen. And I mean, they're scared to death because this guy will kill them, their family, everybody their family knows. I mean, so they put a bag over his head, they bring him back to base, they turn him off to some, you know, West Point bureaucrat, and when they come to interrogate the Butcher of Baghdad, his lip is bleeding, and he claims, well, he was, you know, roughed up by the Navy SEALs. They put all of them under court-martial, the majority of them all pleaded guilty to save their retirement, and Eddie Gallagher is like, I'm not pleading guilty, I didn't do it, I'm not doing it. So he was in prison for like a year waiting for his court martial, and anyways, he ended up fighting it. I mean,
he
was there at the Our Hero's Dreams, and it was like, you know, once I realized, I'm like, oh my god, that's Eddie Gallagher, I gotta go shake his hand again. Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, amazing.
Well, that's the kind of organization Mr. Bond has put together, Our Hero's Dream fundraisers next week. So I'm going to tell the callers, write this number down, it's 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. After the break, I want to have some people call in about, we have our special safety meeting, which is with the probation, sheriff, APD, RPD, the courts, the DA, public defender, the sheriff's office. Everybody's going to be at 1450 Court Street tomorrow at 5:30. We already had a presentation. You can go back and watch it a couple weeks ago. But this is going to be for questions and answers. So all the supervisors have questions about the different presentations, about how we can come together as a criminal justice and law enforcement community to work together, see what problems or solutions there are that we could maybe all work towards, get everybody in one room and get some real answers that many of you have questions about. So when we return, Supervisor Kellstrom is going to be taking calls, and we would like to hear from you. What would you like us to ask Chief Barner from RPD? What would you like us to ask Sheriff Michael Johnson? What would you like us to ask Tracy Neal of probation, Ashley Jones of the public defender, Stephanie Bridget of the DA's office, or Melissa Fowler Bradley of the courts? I mean, there's or the chief of police from Anderson, Oliver. What's his last name?
Oliver Wendell. I was with
Wendell,
him last
yes,
night.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, if you have questions for those people, call in. Let us know what those questions are, and then we will ask them on your behalf tomorrow. And again, this is Kevin Cry. This is my show, but it is going to be the Chris Kellstrom show when we return. I'm going to be heading down to Pacheco to win a basketball game with my son and 11 of his friends. So with that, we'll take a short break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Shasta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Redding Rodeo is back in Bucking on the River, May 14th through 17th, celebrating 77 years of nonstop rodeo action, world champion cowboys competing in the largest four-day rodeo in Northern California. Don't miss our 77th annual Redding Rodeo tradition. Get your tickets now only at reddingrodeo.com before they're gone. Redding Rodeo, where the West comes alive, May 14th through 17th.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Kevin has left the building, but I am still here. So, do we have some callers on the line?
Yes, we have Leslie, if I'm not mistaken, and one more caller. I was hearing Bob, but I think it's Justin.
Okay, well, let's take Leslie first. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. What's going on?
Oh, you guys are cracking me up. I love that that's how we started that show and my Sunday morning. But to start with that safety meeting, I think watching, and I would definitely encourage everybody to go online and watch it back. I think watching it, it became less of an update on where our shortcomings are and more of an ask for money from almost every department across the board.
Yeah, it was kind of strange to me because, I mean, the reason Kevin put them all in one room is we had been hearing for a year that, you know, every time somebody would walk free, it was lack of judges, lack of judges, lack of judges. And then.
Right. It was a finger pointing game.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's a lack of funding and lack of positions and, you know, overworked. And it's like.
Right.
What happened to the lack
of
judges?
I feel like Chris's whole purpose of that meeting was not addressed. And I feel like the people's purpose for that meeting was not addressed. I went in there wanting to know, is it the software issue that you guys have been blaming for 2 years, that's an issue. Can we all get on the same page with the software issue? Is it reporting, you know, to the courthouse and them needing to petition the state for more judges? Is it, you know, somebody's just not doing their job? What is it? Where's the finger pointing? Where's the, you know, the stuff falling through the cracks? And none of us got those answers. We all got, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money. And, you know, I will say, because not everything could be negative. The Public Defender's Office, the courts, and Redding Police Department, Shasta Sheriffs, none of them asked for more money. I mean, they had it in their presentation, you know, we could use funding for this, whatever. But they didn't address those as the issues. They said, like, we're not on the same level as these other areas, but here's what we are doing to contribute. Here's what we are doing to help. Right?
Yep.
Probation and the district attorney both said, we can't do anything until we have the funding.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you heard it. That's how I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little strange. Oops, I'm getting a note here. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I don't know. Like I say, it was a little strange. It was like, you know, we've been hearing for a year. It was lack of judges, and then all of a sudden it was lack of funding, which, you know, changed. So I did meet with Stephanie Bridget last week, which thank you, Stephanie Bridget, for, you know, taking a meeting. And I'd heard, you know, and again, there's two sides to every story, but I'd heard that there was a situation where we had three criminal judges. And one side, the public defender side, never wanted to go to the hanging judge, so they would ask for a recusal. And the other side didn't want to go to a different judge, and so they'd ask for a recusal. And so there was basically one of the three judges that were being used. So Stephanie did provide me with some, you know, the amount of recusals, which, You know, they have gone up drastically in the last 2 years. I mean, much higher than they were the years before. But not every one of them was necessarily recusal. I mean, some were misdemeanors. I mean, you know, it's hard to just look at the numbers and say, you know, pinpoint the problem. But, you know, there is a problem there, which, you know, like somebody pointed out to me, the public defender, you know, their job is to give the absolute best chance of, you know, a fair trial to their clients. So if they get the hanging judge, it's really their duty to try to get a recusal to get to a different judge. So, I mean, I don't know how to fix the problem, but I think we need to identify the problem first and then go forward.
Absolutely.
From there.
And if that can be what this meeting is okay, our department has a stalemate here. What can we do to work with these other departments to fix it? Maybe we can actually move forward and things can get better. But I think one of the things that I personally, and I know you have other callers, so, you know, I'll use Terry's line and land my plane quickly, but I think that what the people want to see and what we want answers to is how can we get things running more efficiently, but also fairly. When we're seeing, you know, a Dads Against Predators sit in jail for months and months and his trial and his hearing and everything else come quickly and get prosecuted quickly and everything. He was from booking till, you know, consequence months, right? Yet then we have the guy from your district who was taking pictures under people's skirts at stores and got found with child pornography on his computer, and he's released 3-4 different times. And I just looked this morning, he's not on the listing. So where is the shortfall, and why does it seem that only one side's being targeted?
Yeah, there does seem to be a little discrepancy in the who they go after or who is brought to trial. I mean, you know, the store clerk at the AMPM on Lake Boulevard there, I believe it was, that, you know, basically, you know, was defending himself against somebody that was possibly on drugs and intoxicated, and, you know, and he sat in jail for a year awaiting a murder trial. And it's like, you know, murder, I mean, that maybe I don't know, maybe manslaughter at the best. But so, yeah, I don't know, there's definitely some questions out there, and I'm not gonna bash anybody or point fingers at anybody. I'm not gonna do that, but sometimes there definitely is questions that arise, yeah.
Right. So I would just encourage the public, especially since you guys made it a 5:30 meeting.
Come on down Monday.
Ask your questions and, you know, expect answers this time.
Yep.
Not a presentation of fluffy stuff. And if we're not getting answers, ask. Why are you not asking, or why are you not answering the question? What is the solution? Okay, it's a software issue. Can you and you get in the same room and get on the same software program? Can you and you, you know?
Yep.
And so that would be my ask and my input. But thank you for hosting this. Thank you for stepping in. And thank you and Kevin both for what you're doing.
Thank you, Leslie. Appreciate it. Next caller, we have Justin. Is this my friend Justin Bond?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, man. Great to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, good talking to you, too.
So Our Hero's Dreams is the week, the Saturday after next. It's April 5th. So we're all going to be there, right?
Yes, sir.
Is Eddie Gallagher going to be there again?
No, not Eddie this time. Yeah.
Oh, man. That was awesome. That was one of the memorable moments of my life when I realized that I was standing up there with Eddie Gallagher.
He's trying to get back out. He wanted to get to this. We've got J.P. Lane coming to this one. He's a younger kid, lost both legs in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Good dude. He's the Under Armour sponsor as well.
Now, you almost did the same thing. Were you in Afghanistan or Iraq when that happened?
Iraq,
okay.
Yeah.
So, this is Justin Bond. He leads Our Hero's Dreams, which, again, is an amazing organization. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm lost for words how great to explain how your organization is, but you guys do some amazing work. And, you know, I don't know if the veteran I talked to at the car show down in Cottonwood or the cruise down in Cottonwood, I don't know if he ever reached out to you or not, but you were the first one I talked to, and I could tell, you know, this guy, he needed to talk to somebody. And, you know, him and his wife were talking to me, and I'm like, listen, you gotta hook up with Our Girls Dreams. I mean, these guys will help you out. And I could see in his eyes he needed some help. So I hope he found it, because, you know, you guys do some amazing work.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, and I'm glad to have you there as our auctioneer again. You definitely command the room when you're there.
I appreciate that, Justin, and I can't wait to do it.
Yes, sir.
All right, we will see you April 5th.
All right.
And it's down at Wind River this time, right?
So Wind River, yes. Okay. And we do have a 2008 Victory Vaga that we're going to be raffling off, and right now it's at the Napa Auto Parts store on Sherman Creek. People can get tickets for it right there.
Okay, what is it again?
It's a motorcycle, an Indian motorcycle. It's a 2008 Victory Vaga, and it's a beautiful bike. It was designed by Arlen Ness that was on the TV show, and he autographed it, and we're going to be raffling that off that night.
Awesome. You guys, everybody come down April 5th, Our Heroes Dreams. Where can they get tickets, Justin?
They can get tickets at www.ourheroesdreams.org, or they can call me at 559-381-2853.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. Can't wait to see you, brother.
Appreciate it. Good to see you.
All right.
Again.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. We have David on the line. Is that correct? David, welcome.
Oh, thanks. Hey, do you have financial management training? Have you ever heard of an organization or a financial institution called a special ECS?
I have not.
Well, apparently they buy government debt. You know, some of these organizations, these financial institutions 20, 30, 40 years ago would buy the debt of other nations. You know, they'd buy the debt of Brazil after it crashed. They'd buy the Argentina, a lot of companies in the world. Their debt was bought by these financial institutions. And the owners of them or the shareholders of them would make out like bandits. And so apparently these institutions are trying to set America into crash mode so that they can buy our debt and then buy up everything that we own at 2 cents on the dollar. So I'm just wondering, you know, is the party working on preventing that? Or, you know, with Trump screwing around with tariffs, it's one way this today, one way tomorrow, one way today or next day it's going to be up and down. So he's crashing the economy, and is it really a setup for these people that are buying the debt of America after it crashes?
You know, David, I'm not really sure, and it's kind of outside my jurisdiction. So I guess we'll have to wait to see what happens on the
federal. Well, I don't want to wait to see.
Okay.
No. I want stability. I mean, you know, in the old days when people talked about gold, you know, that we'd have gold in our in the treasury, and then all of a sudden Trump comes in and he says he wants to have the gold of America go buy Bitcoin, and he creates a strategic Bitcoin reserve. But then on the same day he creates his own coin, and then there's Dogecoin, Elon's coins, and then there's Melania money. So there's all of these funny monies that are based upon nothing, and they want to take the gold of America and buy funny money with it so that America all of a sudden would be worthless, and then, oops, somebody comes in and buy America debt. So is that what's really going on?
You know what? Again, David, it's kind of outside the jurisdiction of a county supervisor, so I'm going to go ahead and take our next caller. I appreciate your call. But we got Terry on the line. Let's see what Terry has to say. Terry, are you there?
I'm here, yeah. Well, Chris, I think that Leslie hit it right on the head when she talked about how these guys keep asking you guys for more money. I mean, when an assistant DA gets up there and says that these guys that come in with a starting salary of $127,000 a year plus benefits can't buy a home, are they not moving to Reading? I mean, so I think a lot of it is the fact that, is there something you guys could do working with the city council? Because most of the crime, most of the problems are in the city of Reading, which falls under the jurisdiction of RPD. It, you know, and again, we hear a lot from them. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough money, et cetera, et cetera. Is there some way maybe you guys could, are coming up with a way to work with city council on that problem?
Well, I mean, we have extended some olive branches to the city council, and you know, many of them are great. I mean, they're fantastic people, and you know, we look forward to working with them in the future. You know, that has been floated past me before, like, how about we go back to city jails? How about we get an Anderson City Jail and a Reading City Jail, and, you know, instead of the burden being completely on the county, you know, whether any of that is doable or not, I'm not sure, but I mean, you know, yeah. So I look forward to working with the city council. We've been working with them on the airport. A few of them, you know, well, I'll just, you know, say, you know, Tanessa and Dr. Danuka, of course, have been just fantastic. And, you know, so we are in negotiations with them now on the flight to Denver. They are, possibly offering us a piece of property there, like Latona area off 273, where we hope to put an alternative custody program. So, City of Reading has been great. I want to continue to work with them. You know, they've been fantastic. So as far as them building a jail, I don't think City of Reading is going to be building a jail anytime soon, nor is Shasta County going to be building a jail. You know, ironically, Fresno built a jail, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they built a jail for $40 million, which is the size that we wanted to complete up here in Reading. And we have about $35 million set aside to build that jail. Unfortunately, the construction costs have gone up so much that that same jail that Fresno built for $40 million would now be approximately $1.25 million. Probably by the time it was completed, it would be about $1.5 million. So, $100 million, $125 million. So, you know, our $35 million that we set aside is just a drop in the bucket at this point. So, but yeah, I mean, we definitely City of Reading, great. We have some, you know, in the past, the county and the city kind of were on opposite sides. But recently we have worked with the City of Reading quite a bit, and I look forward to working with them more in the future.
Yeah, that'd be great, because really and truly, I mean, it really isn't the homeless, it's the transients, the drugs, all the other stuff, where you see these people huddle on a corner, a couple of girls and three guys, you know they're up to no good, you know they're up to criminal activities. And I don't know, maybe code enforcement. I know the county's doing the best they can in that, but I don't know. I just wish there was a way maybe the county could push the city a little more, but
I had a situation literally, I think Friday or Thursday, and the ACID operations manager had contacted me, and he's like, hey, you know, these people down there, you know, by the casino, Clear Creek Market, that area there, he says, you know, he contacted RPD, and RPD said, hey, it's not our jurisdiction, it's outside the city limits. So I sent a message to our sheriff and our public works director. I'm like, you know, first of all, let's just figure out whose jurisdiction this is. Well, it ended up being RPD's jurisdiction. So,
right.
You know, it's like, right. Listen, let's stop pointing the finger and you know, let's
right.
just fix the problem. So come to find out, it is RPD's, you know, jurisdiction. So I'll probably be pushing back on them soon to say, you know, it's in your guys' jurisdiction. Take care of the problem.
Yeah, they did send a car out to Clear Creek Market, and when I had talked to Dr. Danuka about that, I mean, it was almost like Camp Clear Creek. They were right on the side of the road with a fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, all right, thank you, bud.
All right, Terry, thank you. All right, Nick, yep. We got Nick on the line. Is this Nick G?
That's me. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I see where the city of Reading is encouraging a citizens group for a 1-cent tax for the city of Reading. I wonder if maybe you could contact that group when it's put together and ask them if they'd circulate a hitchhiking petition to put a one-cent tax on for a jail, a targeted tax.
We can talk to them about that. I mean, that's, you know.
That's just the thought I came up with, because I believe that would pass, but nobody seems to want to put it up there. And I don't know anybody that would want to put the effort in into gaining or finding, you know, 10,000 signatures or whatever it would take. So I just wanted to plant that idea, and maybe you can run with it, Chris.
I appreciate that, Nick.
Okay, have a great
day. All right, you too. All right, we got, is that Steve? All right, Steve is on the line. Welcome, Steve.
Yes.
You're online. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, Chris, I just wanted to say that I'm a member, I'm a service officer for the Disabled American Veterans, and I'll be down there at the Heroes Dinner fundraiser April 5th, try to hook up with some other vets to start an organization here in Shasta, Siskiyou County, because the only closest place is up in Medford or down in Sacramento, so we need to get a local place right here for the DAV.
Yeah, absolutely.
The veterans. Okay.
Yeah, we've got several veteran groups down here. I mean, the Legion and the VFWs, and we have several groups down there. You don't have a group up there in Siskiyou County, Steve?
I'm the only guy right now. There is no DAV or American Legion or anything like that. I'm the only DAV guy here locally. But we don't have anything between Medford and Sacramento. We don't have any DAV, Disabled American Veterans, which also helps people get connected, service-connected disabilities.
Do you have a VFW up there, Steve?
No, we don't.
You don't have a Legion Hall either?
No.
Okay, well, let's get to work on that, because I kind of miss my Siskiyou peeps, so if you need my help, I will be up there with you.
Right, well, that's why I'm coming down there, to try to get more interest with veterans, helping veterans.
Okay.
I know there's a lot down there, but I'm just making the announcement that if anybody's interested in the DAV, we need to get an organization. We can do it together, like we should be doing all of our politics together.
Absolutely, I agree. And again, if you need my help, I would be more than happy to drive up there. And I miss all you guys up there. I haven't been up there in a while. So you have a VSO, right? I mean, you have a county VSO, I would assume.
You know, I don't even know that. I've been not involved in any of the veteran things other than, well, the VA, to me, up here is very, very weak. But that could be just my own personal opinion.
Well, I would start, go to your county, you know, find the VSO, and that would be where I would start. So you have a veteran service officer, should be.
Yeah, we have that. That's what I'm saying, is that I don't get along with that guy at all.
Oh.
So I don't go there, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
anyway,
right. Well, if you need.
Thank you very much.
If you need my help, Steve, you know how to get hold of me.
Yes, sir.
I'd be more than happy to help you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Talk to you later. Do we have any other callers?
No, we don't, but we have a minute and a half left of the show.
A minute and a half left of the show. All right. Well, I want to extend a thank you to Kevin Cry. Even though he bailed on me, I appreciate him turning the show over to me. And, you know, come to the safety meeting on Monday at 5:30 at the Board of Supervisors chambers. We will have all the players in the room again. Once again, our police chiefs from Anderson and Redding, our sheriff, our probation, Tracy Neal. We'll have Stephanie Bridget, the DA. We'll have Ashley Jones, the public defender. They will all be in the same room. We'll be able to, you know, try to find out where the problem lies, if there is a problem, and where that problem is, and what we can do to fix it. So come to the board meeting, 5:30 p.m. on Monday night, and then we have our regular board meeting on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. I'm reading the agenda now, so I have not gotten through the whole thing, so I can't tell you exactly what's going to be on the agenda on Tuesday, but come to the board meeting on Tuesday, and then in the future, very shortly here, I think the months of April and May, we will be meeting in City of Shasta Lake. Our meeting will be, or our boardroom will be being renovated with new software, new speakers, new, some people have complained that we don't have our projector anymore that works. Well, we will get a new projector. We'll get new everything. So come to the meeting Monday night, 5:30, and come to the meeting on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Hope to see you all there.
And waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.